Hello and welcome to a bonus Marketing Meetup podcast. In this episode, Joe interviews the incredible Noah Kagan, who is the founder of AppSumo and author of a new book called Million Dollar Weekend. Noah's credentials are as long as my arm. He was number 30 at Facebook, number 4 at Mint.com. He's built an $80 million business called AppSumo that offers deals on software. And he also has a great podcast and a huge YouTube channel. So go check out those channels. I think he's a really interesting guy to follow. The conversation is one that is anchored around entrepreneurship, hence the book Million Dollar Weekend. But Joe asks him about how he finds fun in entrepreneurship, how he gets over fear and rolls with the punches, and also how he fights against creating vanilla content. So there's some strategy stuff in there, there's some tactics stuff in there, and there's some things like test and invest, which is kind of at the backbone of what they do at AppSumo. I think you're going to really enjoy it. There's no sponsor for this one. This is just a cheeky little bonus bit of content. So I hope you enjoy it. And if you're not on our newsletter already, then please go over to themarketingmeetup.com, sign up, and we'll send you more juicy stuff like this.
I'm going to start with the context of the book though, Noah, because mate, you're an absolute hero. You've got your new book, Million Dollar Weekend, coming out today when we launch this podcast.
Yeah.
But I want to pick up on something, because when I was on your website today, I was scrolling to the bottom and I saw a little something, which was on the bottom of your website, you wrote copyright 2026. And like, that made me laugh so much, because like, that's like the little touches of someone who just thinks a little bit differently. And I freaking love that. And the reason why I think that's relevant and interesting in the context of your book is that your book is all about accessibility, you know, for folks sort of being able to build a seven-figure business for themselves, create a business. But that 2026 thing struck me as a way of thinking that not everybody thinks. It struck me as something which you do because you are amazing and you think a certain way. And so the question is, like, is this truly accessible, or is this just you? You know, is entrepreneurship acceptable, accessible to everyone? Or do you have to have a certain mindset, the Noah Kagan mindset, you know, someone who thinks a little bit differently?
Thank you for the compliment, first off. Secondly, there's a lot of people who've had success in entrepreneurship. And that could be making millions of dollars, or that could be making $1,000. Like this woman who read Million Dollar Weekend, Jennifer Jones, she's an elementary school teacher in Dallas, Texas. And her business can scale and become like See's Candy or Toblerone. But for her, the ambition is smaller. And there's many different ways of being an entrepreneur. It doesn't have to be the Noah Kagan way, but there's the same patterns that we can all copy within our who we are ourselves that help us lead to success in entrepreneurship. You know, I don't think everyone should do it my way. They should do it the Million Dollar Weekend framework. But if you are more quirky than me, or you are maybe quieter than me, or maybe you're doing it in different ways, I think that's the beautiful part of entrepreneurship, is that there's a lot of different flavors of it. Just like a restaurant, if you think about, there's Mexican regular, there's Mexican fusion, there's Mexican, there's different parts of Mexican, right? There's like Oaxacan Mexican. It's like, oh, there's a lot of different styles of doing kind of even the same dishes. Yeah. I think that's one of the best parts of entrepreneurship.
Yeah, I love that. Well, you're a taco boy, so there's many.
I do eat a lot of tacos. Yeah, I mean, I think the part that maybe is universal that you're commenting on, it's not necessarily the Noah Kagan way. It's just that I enjoy work. So how do we have more fun with our things? So I thought on the site, you know, everyone puts copyright the year it is. I was like, why don't I put copyright for the future? Because I don't know if that this even matters, like if anyone checks it. And then I thought, what if I put some hidden things where if you scrolled over it, it shows like a funny GIF.
Yeah.
Just like silly stuff like that. And more just makes me laugh. Yeah. And then I do think if we're having fun, we lead by example. I think that's a great thing to always do. And if I'm having fun, I do think then the readers and the audience and the customers should enjoy themselves. That's why at AppSumo.com, we have a taco rating, not stars. Because I was like, why would you have stars? Who cares about stars? The taco is funnier. And that's what we did. And just thinking about that, it's not trying to do it. It's just what we enjoy doing and thinking about bringing fun into different aspects of our work.
I love that. It's bang on. It's so important. And it's easy to lose as well. Like, I think in the current world, like as it is sometimes, like things can get deep and tricky, and entrepreneurship in itself is a mind. I don't want to swear too much on it, you know, but it can throw you in all sorts of places. So to continue to find the fun is tricky. Like, I mean, how do you do that? Because like, I love it. I love the fun touches.
Well, I think what happens is we acquiesce to the vocal minority and we acquiesce to the middle, right? Like most things get pushed to the middle, and it frankly just takes effort to stay on some of the edges. And then secondly, I think what's helpful for everyone is thinking about what your values are.
Yeah.
So that as you're behaving, you're like, am I behaving according to the values? So part of AppSumo is being quirky. Like one of our literal values is to be weird. Like that's who we are. And it's not something we have to try to do. We're just a bunch of weirdos. But what happens is as you put things out there, your customer will tell you, no, you can't say these things. You can't be funny. You can't do this. And then eventually you just kind of become everything else. Mm-hmm. And so it's just reminding yourself that, and then also sticking to whatever values matter for your own business.
Mm-hmm. That's a tricky trick. A tricky trick. Sometimes they
it is a tricky trick.
As you as you
but,
said,
you know, I think people in general want to have fun with things. Like it doesn't have to be so serious.
I agree.
And I was eating a bag of chips last night, and they had like cinnamon and sugar. They're kind of kettle chips. And I just, they named him Bononelos or some like really interesting Spanish name. And I said, wow, that's so different, right? They could have named him like cinnamon sugar chip.
Yeah.
But instead they had a different name. And, you know, in a sea of vanilla, one, it's actually not that hard to stand out. It's actually easier than you think. Mm-hmm. But all you have to do is just, you know, do something a little bit spicy or a little bit different. It's actually not that much. And what I've noticed is people actually resonate with it more. Try it out. Like one of our AppSumo values is test and invest. Test it out. Try doing something a little different. See if you get a response. And then you'll be surprised. Like I started sharing more of, you know, my income and the company's performance. And, you know, I put on Twitter a few days ago, I lost $100,000 cash in a real estate deal. And I deleted it because I was like, I don't know. Do people want to really know about that? And people somehow seem to love shitting on it. Like, oh yeah, I'm glad you lost all that money. Landlords suck. It was a real estate deal. I was like, and then this one guy messaged me and he's like, bro, I saw it for a minute and I'm really glad you put it out there. You should be sharing more that there's losses, not just wins in life.
Yeah.
And I really appreciated that, that reminder even, because I have definitely shared a lot of my failures and I put it back out there. And I do think it really educated and helped people realize that not all real estate is passive and you get rich.
You know, and that feels like there's two things that come off the back of that for me when I hear you speak. There's an input and an output thing, which are interesting to explore, because the input thing was about like fear. So I know that for you, like you mentioned in one of your videos that you weren't that keen on flying, and so you learned to fly. So that's the first bit of it. But then the second bit is, once you've done the input, you've put something out into the world, and then you get negative feedback to you, that's rough, you know, because you're also putting a bit of your soul out there and sort of saying, here I am, you know, come and take a look. So how do you, first of all, like, is it just part of you to get over the fear? Or have you had to teach yourself that? And then the second part of this question, I know it's naughty to ask two questions at once, but I'm going to do it anyway, is like, how do you then roll with the punches once you sort of get the negative stuff back, because that's in itself a really tricky part of it.
Yeah, and to be clear, everyone's afraid of something. Maybe they don't want to call it fear, they want to call it something else, but we all have things holding us back from who we can actually be.
Yeah.
And when we realize who we can be and we realize, okay, there's one thing I have to have some courage, which is what facing fear is. It's having a fear and then realizing you can do it, that's courage, and we all have it in us. And that's a lot of what Million Dollar Weekend is, especially for entrepreneurship. And if you can face these fears, you realize, wow, there's a lot more life out there for me. There's a lot more I can accomplish than I even expected of myself. But you have to believe that there's a level and a place that you can be, which everyone, if they get a moment, they just write out their fantasy, like, okay, I could do this business. I could make $10,000 a month. I could live, like for me, I get to live in Barcelona and Austin, Texas. Like it's amazing. And then it's like, okay, what's the fear that I have to face? What's the thing holding me back? Maybe for me, a lot of it was in relationships. I was able to face some fears in work earlier on that helped me get to this point, which everyone else can do. And so a lot of times with fear too, it's practicing it on really small things. So when it happens, you're not, it's not as big of a deal. Mm-hmm. And you realize that we can deal with rejection. My dad taught me rejection goals. He did cold calling to sell copiers. Didn't even speak English. This guy didn't speak English. Hello, you want the copier? Copier, it's good. You have trust me, my friend, copier good. And I'm like, and he would just keep calling. And eventually this guy was making six figures a year just selling copiers. Didn't, you know, came to the country with no real education, no abilities or access more than anyone else, but he was willing to face a little discomfort. So go and ask for a discount. The coffee challenge is something that has been a major transformation for people in facing fears. That's where you ask for 10% off and you get rejected and you realize like, kind of hurt, but I can do it. And then you start realizing like, okay, what else can I get rejected on, and keep going. And eventually rejections will lead to yeses.
Yeah.
And most people are quitting a little too soon on their journeys to where they want to be. And that's something that, you know, I teach the law of 100, which is how do you do 100 days or 100 rejections or 100 videos before you even consider quitting?
Yeah.
So there's a lot of things where everyone's afraid. I'm still afraid. It's just different fears now. Mm-hmm. And how do you just keep practicing it like a skill? Like a lot of times I did roller skating 2 weeks ago. And you remember, it's great to do something new because you remember you're not an expert day one. But let's not be so hard on ourselves when we're not an expert immediately. We have to actually give it some patience and do it again and again and again. And then you realize, oh, okay, if I actually keep practicing it, I can get better at it.
Yeah.
And that goes for everything. Mm-hmm. Now fear and rejection, that's part one. Part two, about dealing with criticism and moving to the center line, moving to vanilla. What's fascinating, I call it the movie pixel theory. And what this is that when you go to a movie and you see a great movie, but there's one pixel missing, and for some reason, that's the only thing you pay attention to. But 99% of the screen is amazing. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, this one mother frickin' pixel is bothering me. And so, you know, two approaches that have helped me work on that is, number one, when I'm feeling criticized or negative around that, go look at the positives. Because literally there's almost 2 million people saw that tweet. And I'm worried about one person complaining.
Mm.
Like, there's so many people who are like, thank you for sharing. Thank you for sharing. I didn't know about this. Thank you for sharing. Wow, that's so interesting. Go and just look at some of the positive ones. And then, frankly, respond to them. Engage with them. And then these negative ones, the second part is just ignore them. I do look at the feedback. I do think if I think it's valid, but I'm not going to let – I start some – you know, in the past, I would write a response like, hey, I'm like, why am I engaging with the 1%? Let me go engage with all the other people who are super benefited from what I'm talking about. And I love this quote, which is like, if you wrestle with pigs, even if you win, you still get dirty.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's just a great thing where it's like, there's no winning in it. So let me go focus on the winners.
Mm-hmm.
Like when people tell me like in marketing, you know, I know you guys are a lot about marketing. Let me go optimize my unsubscribes. I'm like, those people don't want you. Why don't you optimize people opening and clicking and replying to you and engage with them instead of the ones who want to get out of there? You should help them get the hell out so that the ones who want to stay, you can actually build a deeper relationship with.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that's how I approach it. It's still, you know, it sometimes stings. And then I go back to the positive ones, which I'm like, oh yeah, there's so much more positive 99% out there.
Yeah. It's so true. I mean, generally speaking, we you know, most people are freaking amazing, you know, and demonstrate it on the daily. You know, so I've seen the praise, you know, and I've also seen, you know, the more cutting comments, and that's why I'm interested. And like, just to speak to one last final bit on this theme, because I think it's useful for folks putting themselves out there who may feel the fear when starting a business, but it's interesting to hear your experience of it as you've then progressed. Because you're now at a point where your following is like, it's ridiculous. It's so inspirational. You've done such a lovely job, you know, you and the team, and you're always keen to credit the team as well. So I know that that's an important thing for you. But you've also spoken about that movement to vanilla. So how are you fighting that every day? Because like, presumably that becomes more acute as you get bigger, because you know that the potential for this feedback is like magnified times 100, you know, and so you may get 100 bad comments rather than one, you know. Are you mindful of that, or are you just like, stuff it, it doesn't matter, I've stayed the same throughout because that's just how we did
totally.
It
totally yeah with for people out there, you know, with Million Dollar Weekend, one of the biggest takeaways for a lot of people is now, not how. And what that means, and this has been a break, this is how I behave, and this is how a lot of people I've seen success with, is they're waiting. They're like, well, I'm nervous. It's like, all right, what can we do right now? Yep. We put out a little tweet and see what happens. And just getting going will lead you to a better place. Waiting and hoping to be ready, which we're never fully ready. Mm-hmm. And that's what's led me to get to where I am today. But I started that, 15 plus years ago with content and businesses. And for everyone out there, it's like, what can you start right now? So in 15 years, you'll thank yourself. Yeah. And I'm so lucky that I did. And that's available and it's accessible for everyone out there. Now, the second part about how do I feel about it? Now, most people who are creating content or businesses, where what they do is they create something they're really excited about for themselves. Like, oh, I want to make videos teaching people how I run AppSumo. It's an eight figure business. We do almost $100 million a year, which is insane in online revenue a year. And I make videos about that and no one watches them. Right. And then I'm like, well, that sucks because I'm excited and I have a lot of expertise in doing that.
Yeah.
Now, on the other side of that, I do these videos where I knock on people's doors and ask them what they do for a living. Mm-hmm. Those videos go very viral, millions of views. Mm-hmm. And, I'm proud of myself after I do them, but it's not a video that I'd like to do for a long period of time.
Interesting.
It's a lot of anxiety. I'm afraid and I still face it, which I call it the 3-second rule as well. I don't negotiate with terrorists and that terrorist is me. And I don't give into the terrorist thought, like, no, you don't need to do it. No, go do it. 3 seconds. Just make the decision. Nice. Now, when you're doing content in general, it's finding that balance of what can you sustain and people want to see, right? I intend to do content for at least 10 more years, at least. And so what that means is that I can't do content that only I want to do and no one watches, or just the audience wants and no one watches.
Yeah.
So it's balancing those two pieces. Now, I will agree with you. We did this video where I went on a private jet. I just waited outside an airport. And you definitely have a thought where, like, is there anything better I'm going to ever do than this? Or I put out a tweet a few months ago. I don't even remember it now. But I remember thinking literally the next day, I'm never going to have a better tweet than that. That's the best tweet I've ever going to do.
I've peaked.
I'm out of here. And the reality with our brains is we're not professional athletes. They peak at 30. Maybe certain sports is 40, but in mental athletes like we are, we peak at maybe 70, maybe 80. I don't even know when it is. Maybe you never do. And so a lot of times I do feel a little anxious, like, damn, that was like, I just did that, this real estate tweet. It went 1.8 million views. I don't know, by the time people are watching, maybe more. And I think the two components of that are giving yourself a little space, having optimism that the future can be better. Because what we're saying then is, if, oh, there'll never be a better tweet. It's like, well, why do I believe the future won't be better? Why couldn't I improve more things? Yeah. And specifically with content and marketing, I just did a tweet on where I lost money. Okay, what else can I do to lose money? How can I do more of those tweets? Those work. That's what people want, right? So that part one is like, being optimistic about the future.
Yeah.
Like, I do think my best work can be ahead of me. Everyone can. That's an attitude that everyone can choose. Second thing is, once you've done something in business and marketing specifically, how do you do more of it? Like, that's what I've done on YouTube. That's what I've done on AppSumo. That's what I've done on promoting Million Dollar Weekend. What are the things that are working and doing more of it? And lastly, this is kind of the part I think people forget when they're doing content or business in general, is that I've put out, I don't know, maybe 10,000 tweets and only a few do well.
Yeah.
Look at musicians. They put out lots of songs and literally 10% do well. Baseball players do 30% well. And so recognizing that, part of Million Dollar Weekend and people getting success in business or marketing and in general is that you have to keep swinging. And so being okay that, hey, I'm going to put out stuff that no one's going to like, and I'm going to put out stuff that people are going to like, but I'm going to keep swinging. And yes, that and you can get better, so your percentages can increase. So I don't worry as much. Your original question was, am I worried about what people are going to think? And I change my content around that. Yeah, I want to, my content is for the customer.
Yeah.
Right. So if the customer's preferences evolve, I have to be mindful of that. But it's balancing that not everything I put out is going to do well and being okay with that.
Yeah. I love that. Thank you, mate. Thank you for sharing. It's endlessly useful and just encouraging for folks. Cause I think when I hear folks sort of speak about their dreams and so on and so forth, particularly in the arena of business, it's a fearful thing. So I feel like I've focused on the negative aspect of it a little bit too much here, but I think it's just an important part to address, And so I'm grateful for you sharing those thoughts, because I think it hopefully allows people to work through to the positives, right? So
when people realize what levels they can play at and really believe they could be there, that's when stuff gets unlocked. They believe they can have a podcast that pays their salary and their family. Mm. And then the reality, especially online businesses, but there's so many people making a lot of money offline as well, that you can live your whole day doing what you want and make a lot of money doing it. And that's possible. Holy shit, that's cool. And that's available. It does take people getting started and then asking. That's definitely one of the number two skill that people need in being successful in entrepreneurship, and then getting going on that journey.
Mm. It's bang on. And it's funny, whether it's an individual you know or someone that you hear saying words like you've just said. I had a moment in my life where I had like a mentor type person who, in a metaphorical way, kind of took my hand from one room that I thought was the room that I was in, you know, and they opened the door to the next room, and this next room was infinitely larger, you know, and it was like, you know, they sort of said, you can have this, you know, and you know, this can be yours, and you belong in here. And so, you know, the encouragement for folks to realize that it can be for them is really, really huge. I've got two follow-up questions. I appreciate we've only got 5 minutes left because you're a busy dude. But the first question is about strategy versus doing things, because I observe you and what you put out into the world and what you've just spoken about as well. And you just seem to do things. You go, you test, you try, you do more things, et cetera, et cetera. And then some things work, things don't. How much of your thinking is like on a strategic basis? You know, these are my positioning points for the audience. You know, these are going to be my distribution channels. These are the messages that I want to get out. From a marketing plan perspective, you know, you usually have these things written down in a document and you try it for 12 months. And if it doesn't work, et cetera, you know, are you like every day in the day, or have you been a lot more strategic, even if it appears to be sort of like a lot more off the cuff than that?
Yeah. In marketing specifically, it is very easy to come up with a marketing strategy that does not work.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Right? Very beautiful plan. Yeah. I'm going to LinkedIn post every day, 5 times a day. And then you start doing it and you're like, one, I don't like it. And two, it's not working. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to do it for a very long period of time.
Yeah.
Okay, that's not working. All right. And so the way I like to approach marketing is number one, have a goal. Mm-hmm. Right? So where am I trying to go and by when? So with YouTube, and I always pick one number. This is what I learned from working at Zuckerberg. My YouTube goal next year is to go from 1 million to 1.25 million subscribers. AppSumo's goal is to grow 7% from 45 million net revenue, give or take to around 50 million. Million Dollar Weekend, my goal is to get 1,000 reviews. So each of these things, pick a very unambitious goal that you can do for a very long period of time and have a deadline. So this goal is by January 30th when this show is coming out. Great, I can get 1,000 reviews. Mm-hmm. Now, when you have a goal, you now can think about what are the different options of strategy, and then there's tactics within those strategies to get there. Yeah. So for Million Dollar Weekend, I just need 1,000 reviews. So I don't need to do ads. I don't need to do content. I literally need a Google Doc spreadsheet that's free and have 1,000 names with 1,000 emails and 1,000 phone numbers and 1,000 status column. And I'm just going to manually, myself, with Tommy, who's the book marketing lead on Million Dollar Weekend, go through and make sure I have 1,000 names of people on that list. And that's what I've been doing for this year.
Nice.
That's my strategy. And now I don't need a lot of tactics around it because I have a very clear goal and the strategy is very brute force. Mm-hmm. Now, within other businesses, let's take the YouTube channel. We had a goal, which is subscribers. Mm-hmm. And our strategy was to put talking head videos like this. Hey, what's up? I'm teaching you why you're poor. I'm going to teach you 5 tips of marketing 2029.
Yeah.
And I did my strategy was 3 videos a week, every week. So I believe in the law of 100, which is commit to 100 times, 100 days, 100 dates, 100 sales, 100 posts, whatever it is. Now, I did 3 videos a week for 50 weeks, and literally we were not growing the channel. Mm-hmm. So I was like, all right, well, eventually you have to evaluate your strategy and understand why is it not working? And it was because the content's not working. Mm-hmm. And then we tested out. I believe in test and invest. And this is a very important point. And it's so cliche that no one does it. But if you want to copy my success, like we make millions of dollars a year, we promote awesome tools with great deals on AppSumo.com. It's literally this approach. Test and invest and double down. And so let me give you specifics. So with the YouTube channel, we we're doing the strategy, it's not working. So we tested this video where I went out of the house and I went to rich houses and I asked them what they do for a living. Mm-hmm. It worked. And then we doubled down. So if you look at my channel over the past 2 years, every video, there's two videos we found, but almost every other video is me going out and asking people how they got rich. And those videos worked. And so our strategy evolved then to go 3 videos a week. We now only do 2 videos a month.
Right.
Two videos a month.
Wow.
And so that happened because what the strategy we're doing was not working towards our goal. Mm-hmm. One of the other things I would say for everyone out there, here's an easy way to test, invest, and double down. At AppSumo.com, you know, we have marketing goals. And list all the different things you're doing in marketing and write on the column 2023. And in 2024, just list, have another column saying, how am I going to adjust these different strategies and tactics that I'm doing? So we did, let's say for AppSumo, we did a Sumo Day event. Okay, we're going to do it, but here's the changes we need to do and learn from this last year. And just look over everything you're doing, like Instagram. That doesn't do shit for AppSumo, so I keep trying to kill it. Like, get rid of Instagram 2024. TikTok, I think that's trash as well. So get rid of that in 2024. Okay, but YouTube, super good for AppSumo. Maybe we can do more there. How do we get more video ambassadors? Because that's been working in 2023. Now, and just have these columns, and then that gives you a playbook of how you're improving year over year. So that's definitely how we've evolved and improved our marketing strategy over time with AppSumo. Versus, I do think a lot of people, especially in marketing, try to do a lot of new things. Mm-hmm. I like doing the things that work.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think many times, especially in my younger years, I was like, let's try a lot of new shit. I'm like, the best shit is the shit that works. So just stick with that. And then with a small amount, try new things out, not with the main thing.
No, I love that. There was a quote from Warren Buffett's right-hand person who sort of said, our success can be attributed to just not doing a lot of stupid things over a long period of time, you know, which I loved, you know, which, you know, sort of speaks to doing things that work. Noah, our time is there. It's gone by in a flash. You're an absolute legend for taking the time, and thank you for having me. Such practical tips at the end there as well. It's endlessly appreciated. You're doing really, really interesting things. And if folks haven't taken the time to watch your videos, then like, I really encourage them to do so, because I think you tap into something that is both interesting, but you sort of combine it with a real authenticity and soulfulness, which I really admire.
Thank you so much. So, I'm having fun doing it. You know, like you were asking before the show about, we got 1 million subscribers on the channel and it's been our goal, but it hasn't been my focus.
Yeah.
You know, and I think with all our businesses, if you really work backwards, it's like, what's the problem? Who's the customer? Where are they? And with our YouTube channel, you know, the problem is people need inspiration for their business journeys. It's hard out there sometimes, and we need to have inspiration about what's possible and then who the person is. So on our YouTube channel, we serve underdogs. I always felt like an underdog. I always felt doubted on. I felt like I couldn't do it. I felt like people didn't think I could do it. And I was like, fuck you, man. Yeah. No, not for swearing. We have kids and stuff. But like, yeah, I felt like doubted. I feel like there's a lot of other people who feel like there's more in there and more in life for them. Mm-hmm. And they're on YouTube. That's the where. And so a lot of my content that our team puts together, and it really is, if the team wasn't there, I wouldn't do it. Not to this level. I would do it differently. And I'm very grateful for the team. Mm-hmm. You know, just doing content that delivers on that for underdogs to help them on their business journeys. And then thinking about that for all of our business, like, who is my customer? What is their problem? Where are they? And how am I making sure I'm like over delivering that these people are loving what we're doing?
Yeah. I love that. You know, just I don't want to take too much of your time, but like I think there's something really profound in that, because the framing of the book, Million Dollar Weekend, you know, it sort of speaks to an outcome almost. But everything you've spoken about there is so much about the journey and about the input and about sort of enjoying being around people and serving them and being part of that as an enjoyable human experience as well as a business experience.
It's tough. I'll tell you, I was doing the journeys, you know, every cliche thing, maybe when you're 40, how old are you, Joe?
31.
Looking good. Looking fresh. Every cliche thing is true. Yeah. It really is. There's a reason they stick around. Like, look at things that stick around. Like Warren Buffett sticks around. Yeah. I've been doing content and business. I've been sticking around. And so look at the thing, and same with these cliches, like enjoy the journey, not the destination. I always thought bullshit. Just let me get rich. Fucking, I don't care about your destination if I'm poor, right? That's how I felt. I was frustrated. But there really is something there where I feel like I made it a lot harder on myself to get to that destination. Yeah. I didn't get to enjoy all the downs and the negatives and the frustrations. And it really is just, we're on a planet in space and everyone's figuring it out. And so being mindful of these cliches, like test and invest, really test, don't actually invest, even though everyone thinks they're unique, really double down. Like, hey, if you've done something like a tweet on losing money, every tweet is losing money, you know, and this other one is, you know, journey, enjoy the journey, not destination. Like, I really think lately, you know, I'm having frustrations. I got a rejection yesterday from someone who promised something and, you know, it's like, okay, that's an interesting experience. Let me feel that rejection and be okay that this is part of the process of it. And when this book comes out, Million Dollar Weekend, hopefully does well. I've put everything in plan to hit our goals and so forth, but really being in enjoying all these journeys that we're going on. And I definitely think that's a great cliche not to miss out on.
Yeah. Hang on. It's the key to life. It's the key to life. You got to have fun. Surround yourself.
Really do.
I got a phrase, which is as long as you're generally doing the things you want to do, generally surrounded by the people you want to do it with, you're probably having a pretty nice time. You know, it doesn't have to be a lot more complicated than that. So
no, my friend Tynan.com really inspired me. He's like, if we zoom out of our lives far enough, we realize that 99% is awesome. And maybe there's 1% we can improve. And where we are and where we want to be is actually a lot closer than we think. And it's more accessible than we believe. And I really love that mentality.
Yeah. Oh, mate, I could stay here for hours. I feel uplifted. So thank you.
Hell yeah. Happy holidays. No, it's January.
Yeah.
Happy January. You know,
yeah.
I'll leave it at this where, you know, in marketing in general, you're it's a marketing pod, right?
Well, yeah. You know,
we're not talking about enough marketing, but you know, one of the things with marketing, and I'll finish it with this, is that, you know, at AppSumo, part of our success is the immigrant mentality. A lot of our leaders, if not, I think almost every single one is an immigrant or their parents are immigrants. And the thing that's beautiful, and I think it's a lesson for all of us, you know, immigrants can control their attitude and they control their effort. And that's universal. There's no limit on that. There's no one stopping it. So if people are frustrated, it's like, hey, you can control your attitude. You can control how hard you work. So if you have a dream of where you want to go, think about how can you control that attitude and effort to be able to get where you want to be.
Bang on. I love it.
All right, Mr. Joe Glover. Check out milliondollarweekend.com for people that want to have their own business journeys.
And there we go.
See you out there. Pew, pew. All right, my man. Happy holidays. Enjoy the...